It's the Adventures of Indiana Jim. Special presentation of Star Wars. Yeah, it ain't happening.
And now, coming to you not exactly live from
the Cliffs of Insanity,
a man who needs no introduction, that international man of geekery, that intrepid arch-geekologist, Indiana Jim.
Let me tell you why I suck. I'm like JoJo, the idiot circus boy, with a pretty new pet. Oh, my pretty little pet. I love you. So I stroke it, and I pet it. Yeah, I love my little naughty pet. You're naughty. And then I take my naughty pet, and I go. Oh! I killed it!
Indiana Jim, Indiana Jim, this is London calling. Come in, please.
Well, what do you think of the new intro, huh? Huh? This is the second time I've tried to record this, by the way, but I love that intro. I love that intro because it's so funny, and I sound like an idiot. Yes, story of my life right there, and Martin Casserly there, little nugget I pulled out of his lines for Codename Starkeeper, Episode 8, which you will hear next weekend. I know this is not the intro for Codename Starkeeper, Episode 8. As you can tell, I'm sorry. I know it's a tragedy of epic proportions. I get it! I hear you! I hear your weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Cries of mourning, William Paul, Estevan, Chris Walker, Pip Ballantyne, I hear you weeping for the demise of Episode 8. Well, perhaps I exaggerated. It's not really a demise, it's more of a, well, it's just a delay. And hey, you know, at least I'm not T. Morris, right? I mean, it's not often you can say you're not T. Morris and that be a good thing. But in this case, I'm going to take that and run with it. Or at least you're not podcasting is Rich Siegfried. I pick on them because I love them. They are my brothers. They are my brothers, and I hold them dear in my heart. Yeah. So, lots of stuff going on this week. It just tons of stuff. I mean, one night was pumpkin carving, one night was working late, one night my wife had to be somewhere, you know, and so my work schedule has to be, it's sort of flexible so I can work it around what my wife is doing, and just didn't have the week where I could dedicate every night to get this thing finished. However, I will also say the music, very difficult to find the right music, because I've used so many cues already that it's kind of narrowed my choices. I kind of know what I want to use in the middle and towards the end, but I don't really have an idea how to get it started, and it just doesn't have the right feel, because there's these scenes that just, they're little vignette scenes that come boom, 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 and it's like, you sort of have to change up the music, so it's a little weird, but I'll figure it out. Did get all the lines done and got some of the lines in. One of my actors was sick for a few days. Another actor was very, very busy with school and things. So, you know, it just, stuff happens, and I forgot to give them one particular scene. So they had to do this one in short order, you know, you know what can I say? Screwed up. Sorry. But hey, you will get it next weekend. And as a special presentation, for those of you who are new to the Adventures of Indiana Jim, or things are looking up more specifically, last year at Halloween, I premiered Thesis of Fantasy, which you may have heard of, but you may not have heard. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play the promo for that, because I thought the promo was so good, so funny. Got some good blurbs from people, very famous podcast stars, as it were. to help me do that promo. And then a bit of a retouched version of Thesis of Fantasy, a retouched intro and end credits. So I'm going to give that to you to sort of hold you over until Starkeeper Episode 8, the finale, comes out next weekend. So anyway, that's pretty much all I have to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say. So anyway, there was one more thing I wanted to say, but I forgot what it was. Oh, yes. I have a secret project. Let me do that a little differently.
A secret project.
That I hope to finish before the year is out, preferably. So I've already got some big names for it. It's going to be shorter than Codename Starkeeper, but you should really enjoy it. I think you're going to love it, if I do say so myself. So anyway, that is it. That is all the announcements I have. Here we go. See you next time.
You've heard J.C. Hutchins' hit podcast novel trilogy, Seventh Son. You've been thrilled and chilled by Scott Sigler's Earthcore. Tracy and Laura Hickman touched your heart with the Parsec-winning podcast novel, The Immortals. And T. Morris's lovable dwarf, Billabub Battings, gave new meaning to the term private dick. Now, prepare yourselves for the ultimate staggering work of farcical mediocrity as Indiana Jim presents Thesis of Fantasy. Starring some of your favorite podcasters, Doug Rapson.
This is my boy, Bandit Fodder.
Jack Hosley.
No, Your Majesty, I don't think that's a verb.
Christiana Ellis.
My dad made me come here, so whatever. I'm a real honest-to-God princess.
Christopher Walker.
You have really done it. The whole planet may be destroyed.
Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
You've opened up the floodgates with your impurity. There's no telling what rejects from the Star Wars universe are here.
Leanne Mabry.
You try getting an axe in the head.
And featuring Jack Mangan.
Everyone they brought before me only confirmed why I thought the whole thing was stupid to begin with.
Listen to what others are saying about Thesis of Fantasy. J.C. Hutchins.
Indiana Jim? Isn't that where the Hoosiers play basketball?
Michael R. Menengay.
This is the first short-form audio comedy from one of the newest members of the Farpoint Media family. And honestly, I gotta say, it's crap.
Brian Brown.
Indiana Jim has pulled together some of the brightest stars from across the podosphere. I didn't think it was possible for one man to bring down the reputation of an entire industry. Unless you count Jack Mangan.
Mer Lafferty.
It's been a long time since I've seen a podcaster with such potential. For him to throw it all down the toilet like this, it's just disappointing.
Unless you count Evo Terra.
Coming on Halloween 2007, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss brain cells goodbye. It's Thesis of Fantasy.
So he goes, I should be writing. Well, yeah, but not this crap.
Unless you count Scott Sigler.
Visit podcast.indianajim.net for details. Now.
Don't make me get the chicken scissors.
Thesis of Fantasy, written by Jim Perry, starring Jack Mangan, podcasting's Rich Siegfried, Leanne Mabry, Doug Rapson, Jack Hosley, Christiana Ellis, Christopher Walker, and many other special guests. Picture a man. No, not that man. This isn't Rod Serling, and it ain't the Twilight Zone. Picture the other man. The one just up the road. Past the first three lights, go over the railroad tracks, turn left at the Taco Bell, then right down the alleyway, four houses down. Watch out for the cat! Right here, next to the old lady that mows her lawn every other day in a moo-moo and curlers. Okay, stop picturing. This is the home of a writer. Three stories tall with a six-foot fireplace and a bull mastiff. Here's a picture of him in his smoking jacket with his pipe and a copy of Moby Dick. Who am I kidding? It's a faded brick townhouse with bad plumbing and drafty windows. He rolls out of bed at 10:27 on a Saturday in his polka dot boxers, throws on a Hawaiian shirt, and breaks out the Taster's Choice because, he can't afford Starbucks. Can you identify with the suffering of this man? Can his life get any worse? Well, I'll let him tell you.
I set my cup of coffee back on the desk, matching it with one of many stain rings already set in the surface. I sent my sleeve after a stray dribble that ran down my goatee, then shifted my attention to the screen in front of me. I was ready to write, and this time I was not to be distracted. My wife was not happy with me.
Look at yourself. You are just not the man I married.
I looked at myself. I sat in my boxers and favorite Hawaiian shirt. I hadn't shaved in days, and my hair was completely disheveled and greasy. I had neglected to bathe for the last 2 days. Yep. Seemed like the same guy to me.
I'm taking the kids to my mother's house. I hope you straighten out whatever you've got loose up there.
Ghastly thoughts that woman sent from her mind. I could sense them. I could feel them like oil dripping from my greasy hair.
Crap!
I said aloud after glancing at my shoulder. I'm gonna have to change my shirt! I decided that I should jump in the shower whilst I was still distracted from my writing. I took a 5-minute quickie.
That's cold!
Then put on the same clothes I had just removed. Therefore sat I down upon my faded rolling office chair, taking up once again the brown-stained chalice of glorious brown elixir. My eyes bulged and I spewed from my mouth the hard concoction that was my now ice-cold coffee. Though I had coated my monitor with a sickly brown sheen, I had paper towels at the ready. After appropriately cleansing my monitor with the paper towels and some Windex, I sat down once again to write my thesis on the whole literary genre of fantasy. It had been my opinion, ever since attending one of those fantasy writers' groups, that the entire cabal of steadfast devotees were narrow-minded and shallow, and the stories trite and overdone. I began to write. The words came freely and rapturously. I stated my thesis against the muck that is the fantasy world.
I'm not home. No phone calls.
As soon as I said it, I realized it did not pause like the ring of a phone, nor did it sound like my Star Trek doorbell. I stood from my chair, wondering from whence came this new distraction, when suddenly the door to my home office opened to reveal what looked to be a portal, like the ones on Stargate. I stepped through the portal, and instantly my body was sent hurtling through space at roughly warp 9, and I was sure Scotty or Geordi or somebody would comment on how I might break up if I kept at this rate of speed. Of course, one wonders how the Enterprise would break up when space is a vacuum and doesn't have air resistance. Plus, if it's an engine capacity problem, why not just shut them off? I mean, nothing's going to stop you. It is, after all, a simple law of inertia. Anywho, I was debating with the gods of fantasy. Sir Isaac and Carl Sagan could wait up for me if they wished. So there I was, my gyroscope spinning to its limits, my body expanding and contracting to fit into whatever world to which I was being transported. Then, just as quickly as I was whisked away, I stopped. I found my feet firmly planted on a grassy plain. My eyes needed no adjustment, as though I had been standing in the outdoors the whole time. I soon saw a lone rider upon a horse eclipsing the hill I faced. I squinted in the glow of the overcast sky against the horizon, straining to see this person in greater detail. In time, he approached.
That's a strange garb you wear, sir.
Yeah, you too?
Whence do you hail?
A long time from now, in a galaxy far, far away. A gust of wind blew hard across the plain. The man appeared nervous.
A strange tongue with which you speak. The witch said you would be peculiar, but for once honesty becomes her. Come, you will join me upon my steed.
He offered an arm to me. I grasped it, and he hauled me onto the horse's flank. What's your name, good Sir Knight? I hope he was one.
I am known as Bane.
The Bane?
That's right. I appear in at least half of all fantasy novels ever published.
I was taken aback by the sudden exposure of his knowledge of my world. So where am I?
England, Ireland, Scotland, the Great Isle, Britannia. What difference does it make? They're all the same. Put a Dale suffix on the end of 13 consonants if you want something completely original. It doesn't matter, does it?
He laughed again. No, I suppose it doesn't. So what am I doing here?
The witch said you were to experience the world of fantasy yourself. Then perhaps you would change your tune.
I wasn't aware my tune needed changing. I was becoming annoyed by that.
You fool.
Who's the more foolish? The fool or the fool who follows him? Suddenly the earth shook violently. What's happening?
You've crossed the line.
What do you mean? Soon, dwarves, elves, wizards, dragons, demons, and even demons fell from the sky. You know, the one spelled with the stupid A before the E? They thought there were really something with that A. Said they made a whole 3 cents more per story with the A added in there, and that gave them a more mythic feel. Nope, they were stupid. Stupid with a capital A. I cried out to Bane. Jeez, it's raining dwarves, elves, wizards, dragons, demons, and even demons out here.
Indeed.
He led me under the shelter of a tree.
Just be glad there aren't Ferengis, Vulcans, Tribbles, or R-O-U-S's.
Rodents of unusual size?
Yes. Well, only on every fifth Sunday.
So what did I do?
Like I said, you crossed the line. Last time a happenstance shoot from the hip Star Wars line quoter like you came here, the very contents of Mordor, the Shadow Realm, the Netherworld, the Abyss, the Dark One's prison...
I get it. Why does that make a difference?
This always happens whenever the elements of science fiction and fantasy are combined. George Lucas managed to combine the two in a form that permeated your very culture. It changed the way stories were written, and altered the very fabric of space-time itself. Flash Gordon and Joseph Campbell together indeed.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. There are plenty of writers who did that before George Lucas came along. Why is he so special?
Merchandising, gosh.
I didn't press the point. Why aren't you speaking your archaic tongue?
Alas, foul knave, thinkest thou that crossing the line keepeth me safe from thine impurity? No, you done screwed up, boy.
What is that laughing?
Ominous foreboding, you twit. Don't interrupt.
Oh, sorry. We soon made our way through the maze of dwarves, elves, wizards, dragons, demons, and even demons, headed towards the castle Anthrax. Or Camelot. Or the dark foreboding castle at the top of the hill. I was told it didn't matter. Bane suddenly sidestepped the horse off the dark, steep, foreboding mountain trail into a lovely patch of flowers. There were daisies, tulips, and these little pansies that looked just like the faces of cute little kittens. Oh, right. I then saw a flood of villagers with torches running up the hill behind us. As they passed, I ventured a comment. They sure go faster here than in Hollywood.
You can't always believe what you see in the movies.
Oh, dear God. We made our way further up the hill when Bane had to suddenly veer the horse off of a nasty, rocky, craggy trail onto a ledge where they served brandy, bourbon, ale, and calf. What the? Bane?
What now?
They're serving calf?
You fool! You've opened up the floodgates with your impurity. There's no telling what rejects from the Star Wars universe are here.
He did not laugh this time. After taking an ale with a calf chaser, I looked up the path as a band of villagers were running back down the hill. They carried over their heads a rather large, green-skinned man with a flat top dressed in a tattered suit.
Have a nice time, Frank.
How many times do I have to tell you it's Herman?
Dang it. I always get those two confused.
Well, what's he doing here?
You idiot! How many times do I have to tell you? Nothing is safe. Nothing is excluded. Fantasy, sci-fi, horror. You screwed us all, you stupid man.
I grinned. Anger, fear, aggression.
Don't even start.
The dark side of the Force are they. The earth shook. I laughed. The hearty, haughty, annoying kind.
With the passing of podcaster Joe Murphy, people have been asking a lot of questions. What is leiomyosarcoma? Is there treatment for this? A friend of mine just got diagnosed with cancer. Now what do I do? That's where Give Us a Minute comes in. Give Us a Minute is a podcast of hope. We invite you to share on this podcast your own trials and tests with cancer, to share memories of Joe and other loved ones, and to join a community that, with the help of Mason Rocket, will work together to combat this disease and find a cure. All proceeds raised by this podcast will go to benefit the Joe Murphy Memorial Fund in its ongoing battle against leiomyosarcoma. Subscribe at www.joemurphymemorialfund.org and tell everyone you know. Give us a minute. For Joe, for all of us, for a cure.
If you are enjoying the Star Wars fan audio production you're listening to right now, then don't stop there. Come see what the excitement is about at the internet's home of the Star Wars fan audio genre, StarWarsFanWorks.com. There you'll find podcasts, audio dramas, audio parodies, and more, plus the best and most comprehensive news coverage of the Star Wars fan audio genre found anywhere. It's an entire field of Star Wars audio productions made for fans by fans. And your audio gateway to that galaxy far, far away is StarWarsFanWorks.com. Join us. After all, it is your destiny. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.
Bane and I finally stood in the receiving chamber for the King of the World in which I found myself. He wanted to see me in person.
A flower's head, a monster's roar. The quest proceeds. We'll hear some more.
When he finally emerged, he strode to his throne with his purple robe in tow, and beautiful maidens at his side.
Well, well, is this the man?
Yes, sir.
Strangely dressed for a knight.
Gasps rose from the gallery. The king furrowed his kingly brow.
Oh, now I'm doing it.
He shook a finger at me.
You have really done it. The whole planet may be destroyed.
The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's wise lord.
Your Majesty!
Yes?
Sire, might we go ahead and introduce him to the people he's come here to see?
Yes, I think I shall. Concord, bring the procession!
Soon the room was filled with people. The first group to address me were 14 dwarves.
These are the 7 dwarves.
Sire, there are 14.
Well, they don't go anywhere without their stunt doubles.
They did not look happy to see me. Except Happy, who always looks happy. Only I don't really think he was happy. I mean, he was happy, just not... Forget it. I looked up at the king. You can say that again. The king looked at me blankly for a moment, his eyes blinking as he seemed frozen in time.
Scribe?
Yes, your majesty.
Scale of fish and fur with mange. A scribbler comes, his manner strange.
Scribe?
Yes, your majesty.
No, I mean scribe for me. You know, like a verb. To scribe.
No, your majesty, I don't think that's a verb. If you were to use it as a verb, you would have to say inscribe.
Actually, wouldn't it be ascribe?
No, that just means to give credit for something.
This is stupid. What did I say last?
Well, let me see here.
Oh, good God, this is like the longest setup for a joke I've ever heard.
You said, you know, like a verb, to...
No, before that.
No, I mean...
Before that.
Scribe.
Scribe?
Yes, that's the one.
The king put his face in his hands. You said the dwarves don't go anywhere without their stunt doubles.
Oh, yes, the dwarves don't go anywhere without their stunt doubles. See, it says right here in the script.
Get it? Stunt? Dwarf? The gallery erupted in laughter.
Hey, wait a minute.
It's Sam from Slice of Sci-Fi.
Nobody's going to make a bad pun without me.
It took a page and a half of script to get you a pun.
Mix it all and the cup shall raise. Take a drink of old cliches.
Next.
Soon a man in peasant garb came before me.
Hey, I'm common peasant number one. This is my wife, screeching washerwoman.
Ah!
My daughter, cute girl playing with stick.
La, 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 la.
I gestured at a boy with an axe in his head. Who is this?
Oh, this is my boy, Bandit Fodder. He dies every third Tuesday, and on holidays.
Well, he wouldn't die so often if you weren't always out in the fields.
Well, where else am I supposed to be, woman?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe at home protecting your family? You'd think you'd learn by now. How often do we get raided?
Look, if no one's out in the fields, who else is going to come home and rebuild in your memory? We all have a job to do.
Here we go again. Talking about your job.
But I have to.
Bane, can we move this along?
Come on, folks, get a move on.
You try getting an axe in the head.
It's our idiom.
Before I could process it all, several men came before me.
These are the three-letter brothers. Jack, Matt, John, Hal, Jeff, Arn, Orn, and the Incredible Hulk.
I gazed up at the green mass of a man in front of me.
Hello?
Hey, my real name is Tom, but I think the title is much more interesting.
Absolutely. Whatever you say. No argument here.
Next, behold, my daughter, the princess.
She was ravishingly beautiful and looked like my wife. Hello. By what name are you called, honey?
Hi, like my dad made me come here, so like, whatever. Sorry I'm not like, you know, into womanhood yet, but I'm like a real honest-to-God princess, and I wear the dresses and go to the balls and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm a prince.
You wanna like go on a picnic or something? Picnics are cool, so are plays and stuff. Like this one time I saw this play that was like about this short guy who had some ring or something and he had to like go and throw it in a volcano and stuff. It was really lame. And my girlfriend, she's like, that was lame. And Esmeralda, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, Drew Barrymore, Buttercup. Can your dad like cut off people's heads? And I'm like, for sure, duh.
Bane leaned closer to me.
Coincidentally, if you want to win her hand in marriage, you have to climb the beanstalk, get the spindle, climb down her hair, squeeze the golden goose, guess Rumpelstiltskin's name, slay the dragon, kiss the frog, dance with the seven dwarves, eat a roast pig, rub the lamp, defeat Jafar, ride the monorail, retrieve the Holy Grail, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, and Charlton Heston's career. And do it all in 40 days and 40 nights.
Is that all?
No, you have to get away with it despite those meddling kids and their dog.
Come on, Scoob.
Blast. I knew it would be complicated. The next group before me was a bunch of guys called the Unintelligibles. Their names were Quay and Ga-9K the droid, robot, synthetic life form, it didn't matter. After I saw Red Sonja, Conan the Barbarian, Blackbeard the Pirate, Robin Hood, the Dread Pirate Roberts, the Queen of Hearts, and Conan the Late Show host, I was ready to go home. Look guys, this is all great, but what do you want with me?
You are ready to repent of your evil ways, aren't you? You are ready to change how you think about fantasy. You are ready to throw down your laser gun and pick up your sword.
Stop! I looked around and saw the expectant faces waiting for my reaction. Everyone they brought before me only confirmed why I thought the whole thing was stupid to begin with. I turned and looked at Bane, and he rolled his eyes. He knew what was coming. He had seen it a mile away, and he plopped his head into his left hand. He waved his right hand, prompting me to continue.
You might as well.
I looked at the witch, then the king. I'm sorry I couldn't do better, but I've got my own problems. The king turned pasty white. The witch backed away from me.
A potato baked, a salad tossed. Chaos reigns when the line is crossed.
The 14 dwarves stopped dancing. Except the dopeys, of course. I mean, they are stupid, after all. The princess kept chewing her gum and twisting her hair. And the old man from scene 24, he was fashionably late, dropped his laden swallow. The king pointed at Bane.
Bane, say something to him.
I turned to look at Bane and saw him grinning.
Yeah, you're a real hero.
Immediately, the ground shook again, and everybody started running for the emergency exits. I stood still, looking at the ceiling, expecting it to crash in on me. The king strode over to me, stuck a finger in my face, and said,
We want you to wake up, Daddy.
Huh? The king shook me.
Wake up, Daddy!
He cried.
Wake up now!
I woke in my bed, with drool in my goatee. My daughter and wife were there smiling over me. Honey, last night I had the strangest dream. I sailed away to China in a little rowboat to find you.
But I said I had to get my laundry clean?
Yes, that's the one. And you were there, I exclaimed as I pointed at her. And you, I pointed at my daughter. And you, I pointed at my dog. And you, I pointed at Captain Kirk.
This always happens whenever the elements of science fiction and fantasy combine.
I looked over at Jack Bauer. Oh, now's a fine time to show up. Where were you? He grabbed me by the shirt collar and pressed me into my pillow.
Look, today I've been tortured, shot at, involved in a helicopter crash, and betrayed by my father. I've lost my best friend, got turned over to the Chinese, and ate your wife's meatloaf. I am not in the mood, so I'm going to ask you one more time. Where is the bomb? Don't make me get the chicken scissors.
Trembling, I looked at my wife.
Oh dear, you're fine now. Come downstairs with us. We'll watch a little Star Trek and drink ale with calf chasers.
Unhand me, strange woman!
I closed my eyes tight, laid my head back on my pillow, and tapped my heels together. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Thank you for listening to Thesis of Fantasy. And now for your players. Jack Mangan as the writer. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried as Bane. Leanne Mabry as the writer's wife and screeching washerwoman. Doug Rapson as common peasant number one. Chris Walker as the king. Jack Hosley as the scribe. Christiana Ellis as the witch and the princess. P.C. Herring as Frankenstein's monster, a.k.a. Herman, and the Incredible Hulk, a.k.a. Tom. Ray Perry as the writer's daughter and cute girl playing with stick. Sam Sloan as himself, and special guest Scott Sigler as Jack Bauer. Stay tuned to the feed for a special presentation of bloopers from Thesis of Fantasy. I mean, it's a year later and still no bloopers like I promised last time, but they are coming. I mean it. No, seriously. What, you think I joke about something like this? I'm serious. They're coming.